What's up, y'all? Welcome. I am super excited about this episode. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are, whether at home, at work, on a plane, on a train, on a boat, wherever you are. I appreciate you tuning in because this episode is probably going to be one of my favorites. And it is about covetousness, you know, when our desires become an idol. And I know for a fact this is something I struggle with, maybe something you struggle with. So I hope that what I share with you guys today will be edifying. You know, maybe you ask yourself some questions, maybe something that you can take back and just ponder on. I want to share with you guys the revelation I received, and hopefully it helps you guys out as well. So without further ado, let's get into it. When your desires become an idol, why do you want what you want? We live in a generation that you cannot escape from social media. And I feel like social media is probably the number one reason why a lot of people covet what other people have. Covetousness breeds discontentment. Discontentment breeds idolatry, and idolatry breeds sin, and sin breeds death. Your desire has become an idol and has led you away from Yahuwah. Your desire has become an idol and has led you away from Yahuwah. You having desires is not a bad thing unless you desire something that's not of Yah. But a lot of people have desires. For example, they desire a spouse. That's not a bad thing. They desire to have a certain type of job, career. They desire to have a bigger house, maybe a car that actually works. They desire things, or they desire to be in certain positions, right? That aren't inherently bad. That's fine. The problem is when we make our desire or allow our desire to become an idol. There's nothing wrong with wanting a job to support yourself, a home where you can raise your kids, and a car to get around in. The problem is when you allow that desire to grow into covetousness. And covetousness is the root that transforms your godly desire into an idol. So you might be thinking, okay, I hear what you're saying, but what is covetousness? So covetousness is a deep desire for what someone else has. It breeds discontentment. Why do you want what you want? We live in a social media generation. I guarantee you, you go on social media right now, you scrolling on people's pages, lurking, and you see a car that somebody has. You know what? I'm going to use myself as an example. So your girl was driving a 2011 Chevy Cruze. That was my first car, fresh out of high school. And I love my little blue 2011 Chevy Cruze. I was driving that bad boy for a good 10 plus years, and it was breaking down on me. So I wanted to get another car, like an SUV, right? An SUV type car. And I picked out the exact make and model I wanted and the color that I wanted, right? It wasn't like the top of the line model, but it wasn't the basic either. But it was exactly what I wanted. I went to the lot in Virginia, and the car that I wanted was on the lot. The exact same car, everything. So I bought my car. I got exactly what I wanted, right? So check this out. I'm scrolling on social media one day. I think it was like this, like a Christian influencer. And I've been seeing her content, and she got the same car, like the same brand, but it was a different color, but her car had like red leather seats. It had a sunroof. It was like the top of the line car. Now, mind you, I had the same make, not the same model. She had like a higher model. Now, I didn't have the lowest model, but I had maybe like, you know, the second or third up. She had the top of the line one with the sunroof, the leather seats, everything. That bad boy looked nice. And I wanted it. Y'all, I was looking at my car. I'm like, dang, maybe I should trade in my car. Mind you, I have a 2024 model. I got my car in 2023. I have a 2024 model. And I'm scrolling on social media and I see another girl with a nice car. My car, same make, but she had like the sunroof and the leather seats, and they was red leather seats. It was just nice. And I wanted it. And I really contemplated trading in my car just because I saw what she had. I contemplated going more into debt just because I saw what she had. I became discontent with my car. Mind you, I had upgraded from a 2011 Chevy Cruze, a little four-door sedan, to an SUV. My Chevy Cruze was breaking down on me. I remember praying, getting into my Cruze, my Chevy Cruze, hoping that the car would start. AC not working, the heat not working, brakes need doing. The car was breaking down on me, and I finally was able to get rid of the car and upgrade to a 2024 model SUV. And your girl's on the tall side, so I needed some space. It was within my budget. It was the exact car that I wanted, the exact color. Mind you, that color, I would have to, typically to get that color, you would have to order it. So you would have to wait at least like 6 months for that specific color. But it was on the lot. So I got exactly what I wanted. I went from a hoopty to a nice SUV. And not even a year later, I see somebody else with a sunroof and some leather seats in their car, and I wanted it. And I became discontent with what I had. Covetousness breeds discontentment. Covetousness is a deep desire for what someone else has. Luke 12:13. This is the parable of the rich fool. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" I want us to think about that parable for a second. The rich man said to himself, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater." He was storing up for himself things of this world. And he said to himself, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the verse when it says, "What profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul?" One of the questions that I had when I was reading this was, why did he have to pull down the barns he already had? The man had to pull down barns he already had and build greater. So there he will store all his crops and his goods. Another question that arises is, how come he couldn't share everything that he had with other people? This man, the ground yielded plentifully for him, right? So instead of him giving to others, guess what he did? He tore down the barn that he had and he built a greater, bigger barn to store what he had. Instead of keeping the barn that he had, if his barn was already full, then give the access to other people, the excess, to other people. Why didn't he do that? Because he was concerned about earthly things. He wanted more. In that situation, like looking back at it now, I only wanted that car to update, to upgrade my car, not because I needed to upgrade my car. My car runs smooth. It's a 2024, it's a brand new model. I only wanted to upgrade my car because I saw somebody else have it and I thought it looked nice. And then I became discontent. Y'all, I went from going to a, from a hoopty to a car that actually runs right, being content for a year until I saw somebody else have a upgraded version of my car. And I wanted that. And then I became discontent with what I'm driving and contemplated trading in my car. For what? Being discontent with your portion is the biggest sign that you have made your desire into an idol. Now, I know I'm just going to use my my car as just one example. Me personally, I don't think I made that into an idol per se, because I kind of got over the car situation. But there's going to be another example that I use that I can, confess I probably made into an idol. And the thing is that when you are discontent, you are saying in your heart that Yahuwah is not enough. So how does this happen? This happens when we don't guard our eyes and our ears from what we consume. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We need to guard our eyes and our ears from what we consume. People think that this is not a big deal, but it's very much a big deal, because think about it this way. What you watch leads you to think about things. What you see leads you to think and ponder on those things. This is in your mind. So you have now planted a seed in your heart. And the perfect example I can use is this. Think about what happens when you give CPR. What is CPR? Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. What happens when CPR is conducted? Think about it. When you're giving CPR to somebody, the individual that you're giving CPR to, you're giving them compressions to the chest to pump blood from the heart to the brain to keep them alive, right? So you're probably thinking, well, okay, well, what does this have to do with anything? The fact that you're able to give compressions to somebody to pump blood from the heart to the brain means that the brain and the heart are connected. Blood is able to go from your heart to your brain. Because when you're giving the compressions, you're pumping down on that person's heart to stimulate blood flow to the brain to keep them alive, essentially. The fact that you're doing this and blood is getting from the heart to the brain means that the heart and the brain are connected. So when you are watching things and consuming things with your eyes and you're thinking about it, consuming things with your ears and you're thinking about it, you are planting a seed in your heart. Don't think that just because you're watching something and listening to something, that means that you're not planting a seed in your heart. Because as we know, when you give CPR, your heart and your brain are connected. If in the physical realm, your heart and brain are connected, then why wouldn't they be connected in the spiritual either, in the spiritual realm? What you see and hear plants a seed in your heart because you think about what you've seen and what you've heard. This is exactly why imagery is very powerful. It's hard to unsee something. So now that you planted the seed, what happens next? You begin to water it. So what does this look like? You continue to consume content, whether that be on social media, whether that be TV, whether that be what you listen to on the radio or on your phone, whatever the case may be, you water that seed that has been planted in your heart. You continue to consume. You continue to look at that or look at that thing or whatever you're looking at and to listen to it. And what do seeds need in order to grow? Water. You don't guard your eyes, your ears. You don't separate yourself from people and environments that promote this sin. So you're giving life to this seed that is planted in your heart. And water is needed for a seed to grow. And your environment, you know, you surrounding yourself with certain people who are promoting this sin, your environment is a soil. And it's almost like your eyes and ears are the sun, if you will. And all these things are working together to grow the seed, i.e. the sin. And eventually, the seed grows and it's harvest time. So what happens next? Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. When sin is fully grown, the harvest it brings is death. You planted a bad seed. That bad seed produced bad fruit. And you want to know the thing about bad fruit? You can't eat bad and rotten fruit because you'll get sick. And in some cases, you can die from eating rotten food. So when you don't guard your mind, you don't guard your eyes and what you listen to, you start thinking about it. And again, when you start thinking about it, you are planting a seed in your heart. You don't have to acknowledge that because science even acknowledges that your heart and your brain, where you do your thinking, is connected. As we've already said with CPR, when you give CPR to somebody, you are giving them compressions in order to pump blood from their heart to their brain. And the fact that blood is getting from the heart to the brain means that the heart and the brain are connected. So that seed now is planted in your heart. And now you are watering it, scrolling on social media, looking at what everybody else has. Oh, they got a nice house. I want that. Oh, they got a nice car. I want that. Oh, they got some nice designer clothes. I want that. And you're just feeding yourself this. You're feeding this bad seed. You're watering the seed. And guess what happens? The seed grows and it's harvest time. And the harvest is sin. And sin leads to what? To death. You've allowed your desire for something to now become an idol. So what desires do people struggle with? People struggle with a lot of desires, right? And the thing about desires is that, again, all of them aren't bad. And the perfect example I'm gonna use marriage, right? Because your girl is 30. No man, no kids. And this is something I can definitely talk about because I feel like marriage for me has, it became an idol. And here's the funny thing about it. I allowed people to, I'm gonna take accountability. But it's funny how I didn't start idolizing marriage until I saw other people on social media kind of like you know, low key flexing that they got somebody. And, you know, the thing about marriage is a desire that many people have that has become an idol for a lot of people, and not just women, but men too. Right. You know, this goes for both men and women. And it's because social media has bombarded people with messages, especially women, regarding finding a spouse. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. As a content creator, I can't tell you, and this truly, truly irritates me. I can put out content and it's almost like, because I don't have a man, people discredit what I'm saying. You know, I know people like to troll and stuff on social media, but that gets to you. I read my comments. You know, I'm not about to sit here and act like I don't see it. I read my comments. I can find the cure to cancer, and none of that matters because I don't have no man. This is what our society has come into. And the crazy thing to me is that this message is being pushed by people who claim to be believers, because women in the world are okay with you not having a man. Like they not checking for no man. They, you know, want to do their own thing. Okay. But it's women who claim to be believers that I've gotten the most pushback from, or especially on social media, how it's like they got a man and you don't, so you ain't nothing. I know I'm not the only one who feels this like subconscious pressure to like find somebody. And it's not that I don't want to find somebody. I just don't want it to be an idol. You know, Yah did not put me on this earth just to be a wife. Like there are other assignments and things that he needs me to do on this earth. Like being a wife, I mean, it's on the list of things, but it ain't the top priority. I'm just going to be honest. And it's sad how a lot of people, they make this into an idol, and then that is what they feel brings them value. You know, I even wrote down in my notes, your value as a person, according to the world, is wrapped up in whether you have a spouse. People feel they have nothing to offer and have been made to feel they have nothing to offer because they are single. And again, I experience this all the time. Just listening to messages. And again, I have to take accountability because I haven't guarded my eyes and my mind like I should have. I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch a video. And after that one video, next thing you know, my entire timeline is, oh, you need to find a husband. Oh, this, that, and third. Oh, you know, once you hit 30 and you don't got no man, you don't have no value. And just all this rhetoric, all these messages that have nothing to do with the word of Yah, because last time I checked, a man or a woman, like, they don't bring you value. You are already valuable. Before you even formed in the womb, he knew you. He died for you, right? So why is it that you're going through life thinking that a human being is going to bring you value? The only human being that brings you value is the Most High. Yahushua HaMashiach, straight up, right? And here's the thing, especially when it comes to marriage. Satan will, when your desire becomes an idol, again, having desires isn't inherently bad, but it becomes bad when you make it into an idol. And the thing is Satan will use your desire for marriage and turn it into an idol. Because what does idolatry do? Or what is idolatry? It's a sin. And what does sin do? It keeps us away from Yah. So if Satan can get you to idolize marriage, that is his way of keeping you away from the Messiah. This is exactly why this rhetoric is like being promoted through social media. Don't get it twisted. Women promoting, oh, you know, you need a man to have any type of value as a woman. You ain't no real woman if you don't have no man. And I know y'all see the rhetoric on social media, or even guys. It's like, oh, well, what are you doing with your life if you ain't married? And it's I see it with guys, but I definitely see it with women. It's like our whole existence only matters if we have a spouse. And I can see quickly how that can become an idol. Because again, even for myself, I was like, oh, I need to find me somebody. And don't get it twisted. I definitely want to be a wife one day, definitely want to be married. But I need to make sure that my heart is in check. And I don't allow that desire that Yah has placed on the inside of me to become an idol. Because here is what happens. You allow your desire for marriage to become an idol, right? Because you've been consuming all this content, not guarding your mind, allowing this bad seed to grow. So now you've turned that desire into an idol. And the problem comes in when you're trying to pursue that thing, you're trying to get that spouse, and nothing seems to be working for you. Now you look at Yah with a side eye and you start asking him or questioning him like, well, how come I don't have what they have? How come I don't have a spouse like them? You start thinking Yah is the ops because they have a spouse, but you don't. So you start looking at him as if he's withholding from you and you start to feel slighted. You are allowing your idol to separate you from Yah because now you are looking at him with a side eye because you don't have what they have. I'm single. I don't got a man. But if I allow me not having a spouse to become an idol, I will start trying to pursue getting one. And then when it doesn't happen, when I don't get that thing, that something, which is a spouse, I start looking at Yah with a side eye. But if I was content, if I was content in him, I wouldn't feel that way. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Yah is not withholding a good thing from you. And if you are not careful, because you have idolized this desire, you will think he is withholding a good thing from you. And you might be asking, okay, well, if he's not withholding a good thing from me, then where my man at? Where my spouse at? Have you ever considered it's just not your time? Like, seriously. I know we don't want to hear that, but have you considered it's just not your time yet? Nobody's rushing. The only person who's rushing is you. He's not in a rush. You're in a rush. Because again, if you weren't coveting what somebody else has, if you weren't, let me go back. Yeah, coveting what somebody else has, then you wouldn't be breeding discontent within yourself. And again, discontentment within yourself breeds idolatry. And idolatry breeds sin. Sin breeds death. And now here you are, mad at everybody, mad at Yah, think that he don't like you no more. You thinking that he the ops now because he is not giving you what you want when you want it. And the reality is, you only wanted that because that's what you saw all over social media. And you became discontent within yourself because you allowed the world to make you feel like you don't have no value. You allowed the world to essentially cause you to covet. You fail to guard your heart. When things in life aren't going your way, you start to feel slighted. You start to feel that Yahuwah doesn't like you. Then you start to think it's okay to step outside of Yah's will to get what you're desiring. And this usually looks like compromising his word. There are people who, because they have not gotten a hold on their coveting of the discontentment in their heart, they start to compromise Yah's word in order to get that. Okay, so here's the thing about coveting and like making your desire an idol. It's like a nagging feeling. Like, I gotta have that. I want that. And in order to shut up that nagging feeling, you have to act out on that. Ooh. When you're content with what you have, when you're content with your portion, you don't feel the need to step out. Because you happy where you at. If I was content, like for example, my car. If I was content with my car, I wouldn't feel the need to see how much my bill is going to be if I upgrade it. I wouldn't feel the need to go on the car lot and look at other cars. I'll be content with my SUV. When people aren't content, they start to compromise his word. This can look like fornicating, manipulation, witchcraft, trying to manifest your own will. So now you dabbling in Satan's tactics, trying to force your will. Then when things still aren't working out, you get tired and you grow more frustrated with Yah. And this is exactly where Satan wants you. Frustrated, tired, weary, and all. You tired and frustrated and weary when it comes to Yah, and you don't realize it's because of the covetousness that you allowed to grow because you failed to guard your eyes and your mind, even though Yah said in his word to guard our eyes and our mind. Guard what we watch, guard what we listen to. He already told us what to do, but we don't read his word. We fail to implement his word. And then this is where we are, frustrated with Yah, falsely accusing him of, oh, you don't want us to be happy. You're withholding good from us. No, he's not. You just fail to be content. A lot of people give up on their relationship with him completely because Yah isn't giving them the thing that they want or desire. And sometimes they get the thing that they want right after. So people will give up on their relationship with Yah. And then they'll get that thing that they wanted. Right? And they attribute that to giving up on Yahuwah. So what does this mean? You know, people who like, they say, oh, as soon as I gave up my relationship with Yah, that's when it came. Like, as soon as I stopped being in my word, my life got better. That's what happens to those people. And you want to know why that happens? Is because Satan is giving them a gift for bowing down to him and turning your back on the Messiah. You turned your back on the Messiah. You gave up on him. You want nothing to do with him now. And it's funny how all of a sudden, as soon as you give up on him, all of a sudden you get that thing that you want. And you credit that to giving up on him. Satan is just rewarding you. Congratulations, you manifested your own will. You got what you wanted. And you want to know the sad part about it? People who manifest their own will, i.e. get rewarded by Satan, essentially. They have to keep on working to keep what they have. They have to keep on compromising Yah's word to keep what they have. And you know what the crazy thing is? They're never satisfied. This is exactly why you see celebrities. They literally have the world in the palm of their hand. And they're still not happy. Because the thing about discontentment, it's a heart issue. If you're discontent because you don't have something, but then you get that something, you're still going to be discontent. you fail to realize that what you need or who you need, who you need is Yah. But you stepped outside of him thinking that you were going to get that thing and you were going to be content. Baby, you messed up when you stepped outside of Yah. First mistake. Let's start there. Sin separates us from Yahuwah. Idolatry is sin. Placing another God slash person above Yah. You can place material things above him. You can also idolize a desire. The enemy is sneaky. He will take a desire that Yahuwah gave you and convince you that you must place that above Yah. He will convince you that you must go against Yah to fulfill that desire. Why does the enemy do this? Because you will be in sin, in error. Imagine pouring water into a cup with a hole at the bottom. Will you ever fill up the cup? Imagine planting a seed in rocky soil. The soil is no good. Will the seed grow? You're watering it, sun is getting to it, and no harvest. The enemy wants you frustrated, but frustrated at Yahuwah. The enemy wants you to be so frustrated that you turn away from Yah. Then when you turn away, the enemy can lead you further away. Many people turn away from Yahuwah because their desire for something hasn't been fulfilled. And because they aren't content, they go seeking elsewhere to get that desire fulfilled. They try to go around Yah to get the desire fulfilled. When doing this, people are also committing adultery. You do know that we are the bride, right? Yahuwah is the bridegroom and we are the bride. He's the husband, we the wife. Ooh. Yah is the husband and we are the wife. When we are discontent and we don't run to Yah for our contentment, we step outside of him and try to get it elsewhere. Remember, you're the wife. Yah is the husband. You're not happy. You're not content. So guess what you do as the wife? You step outside of your marriage covenant and try to get that contentment somewhere else. And guess what? You're successful. And you want to know what's crazy? You're still not content because it was a heart issue. The Israelites struggled with idolatry. They always went after the gods other nations worshipped. They weren't content with Yahuwah, so they tried to seek more outside of him. The Israelites are the perfect example of what it means for people to not be content with Yahuwah. The Israelites had the King of all kings guiding them. Yahuwah was their God. Yahuwah was the God of the Israelites. He wasn't everybody else's God. He was the God of the Israelites. Now, if other people wanted to get on board and stuff like that and be grafted in, they could. But Yahuwah was for the Israelites. And all the other nations knew it because all the other nations had their own gods, i.e. Satan. So this was nothing new. But the Israelites couldn't find contentment in Yahuwah because they were so focused on what everybody else was doing. They were so focused on other nations and what other nations had. Oh, these other nations, they have kings. Oh, these other nations, they're able to worship this way. Oh, well, we want what these other nations have. They coveted what other people had. And that covetousness and them, the covetousness and them coveting led to discontentment, which is a heart issue. And the only person who can satisfy that heart issue is Yah himself. No other human being or material thing can satisfy you being discontent. Trust me. Judges 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. I want y'all to think about that for a second. I want y'all to think about that for a second. The thing about Israel was that Yah fought on their behalf. But the thing was that they were to uphold his commandments. And one of them being, thou shalt have no other gods before me, i.e., you know, idols, right? But because Israel's desire for idols, Israel's desire for other gods superseded their love for Yah, like they they wanted to forget Yah and then just worship these other gods. God said, all right, bet. These nations that are oppressing you, I'm not going to make them stop, essentially. I'm going to allow them to oppress you. I'm going to allow them to overtake you so that this may serve as a test for Israel. Perhaps when this happens, y'all repent from your ways and come back to me and realize that I am the solution to your discontentment and realize that you shouldn't step out on me in order to get contentment. So I'm gonna let these nations oppress you. I'm gonna let them deal harshly with you to test y'all. So hopefully this will drive y'all to repent from your sins and turn back to me. But guess what Israel did? They didn't turn back. Israel didn't turn back. In fact, they became more corrupt. They became more corrupt than the generations before them. Even though the Israelites went after other gods, they returned to Yah and he forgave them. But what did they continue to do? Turn away from Yah. This is why Yah allowed them to be overtaken by other nations. He gave them what they wanted, even though what they wanted was to their own detriment. Discontentment is a heart issue. When we don't do our due diligence in guarding our eyes, ears, what we do is we allow bad seeds to be planted in our hearts. Then, left unchecked, we water those seeds and they grow into rotten fruit we can't eat. It is imperative for us to check our hearts continuously because this is what we will be judged by. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Yah is going to judge us based on our heart. So if our heart shows that we are discontent, how do you think we look in the eyes of Yah? Because here's the thing. If you are discontent in your heart, but you go towards Yah to fulfill you, then that's a good thing. The problem is we'll be discontent in our heart and then we'll step outside of Yah to become content. We don't repent. You have a relationship with the Most High, but you still not content. What you're saying is he is not enough. What you are saying is that there is something outside of him that if you had it would satisfy you. Because how is it that you have the King of all kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end? You have a relationship with him, but that's still not enough. You literally have the world. you have him. You have everything, but you're still not content. He will judge our hearts. He knows our heart. So he knows our true intentions behind us doing certain things or wanting certain things. We can fool people, but we can't fool Yahuwah. Why do you want what you want? Oh, because somebody else has it. So because somebody else has it, mind you, you don't even know if they following Yah. You don't even know if they in the word. So you, are you envying somebody who's not even of Yah? You mean to tell me that the reason why you're discontent is because you're envying an evildoer? The reason why you want to place somebody above Yahusha is because you envy a person of Satan? You envy one of Satan's kids? That's crazy. How do we get back on the right track? One, ask yourself why Yahuwah isn't enough for you. Maybe you've been raised to think that material things bring you value. Maybe you hold a belief that you're not good enough as is, that there's things you need to do or you must be in order to be considered good enough. Maybe you believe that when we leave Earth, that's it. That's the life we have on Earth. You know, the whole you only live once mentality, whatever the case may be. The first step is asking yourself why Yahuwah isn't enough for you. The creator of everything. The creator, the I am. Why isn't he enough for you? Second step, repent. You may be thinking, what's the point of repenting if you're the one who feels unworthy? Or you've been raised to believe you don't have value. The reason you need to repent is because before you were formed in the womb, Yah already said that you're worthy and have value. He showed with his actions that you are valuable to him. But you've been living your life as if you're not, unless you do certain things or obtain certain things. You've been holding the belief that you're not valuable. So you've essentially placed yourself above what Yah already said about you. And isn't that idolatry? So step two, repent. Step three, fixate your eyes and ears on what Yahuwah has said in his word. If we are told to guard our eyes and ears from things not of him, won't we focus our eyes on scripture and listen to what Yah has said about finding contentment with him? This way, we start to think about Yah and put him at the focal point of our lives. Then we will plant good seeds in our heart. And step four, give yourself grace. And I know I need to work on step four for myself because I'm kind of a perfectionist. But give yourself grace. We are bombarded with messages that entice our flesh to seek contentment outside of Yah. Like, it's a daily thing. You will not be content overnight. It's almost like you have to wake up every day choosing to be content. I don't even think being content is like a feeling. I think it's an action. I don't know. I might have to circle back to that. But right now, I feel like it's more of an action than a feeling. You know, it's a process. But understand that you can get to a place where you put your desires in their proper place, which is in submission to our Creator. We can never be content or find contentment outside of Him. We can never do that. And even if we tried, we won't be successful. Because again, if you're not content with the Creator of everything, the Creator of what you're desiring, what makes you think you would be content with those things once you get it? It is a heart issue. And He is the only one who's able to fill that void in our hearts. And I will leave y'all with this. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The fact that you know Yah and He knows you, and on top of that, you are content in Him, that is a blessing. There are a lot of people desiring things, falling into the trap of temptation, chasing after these things to still not be content, chasing after a better car, chasing after a better looking spouse, even though looks are subjective, but you know, oh, my spouse, they not pretty enough. Let me upgrade and get another one. Oh, my spouse, they don't make enough money. Let me get one who makes more money. Oh, this job ain't good enough. Let me get another one. Let me get a higher paying one. And if I can't get these things, I'm going to look at Yah with a side eye. I'm going to look at Him with a side eye because He's not giving me what I want. When the reality is I'm just not content and I should work on my heart, but I don't want to do that. I want what I want when I want it. So I'm going to step outside of Yah to get what I want. And when you step outside of Yah's will, the enemy has you exactly where he wants you. Not under the protection of the Most High. So he can attack you and lead you astray, straight into destruction. And in the process, you end up straying away from the faith. And unfortunately, a lot of people, when they stray away, they can't find their way back. So I just wanted to leave that with you guys. Why do you want what you want? Thank you guys for joining me. I hope this was edifying. I hope you gained something from this. I know that this revelation, I definitely gained from this, made me self-reflect and just look at myself and realize that I need to get my heart in check. But thank you guys for tuning in, and until next time.